It's the feel-good hit of 2021, the podcast that brings you so much more of this and more of that, just more, and it's better than ever. Best of all, it's free and commercial-free. It's the news, according to me. It even rhymes. With new and improved content, fortified with 27 vitamins and minerals, or maybe not. Be sure to subscribe, because you probably won't want to miss any of this, but you might. Never before has so much offered so little. It's the podcast that will leave you asking questions like, how can I get that hour of my life back? Or what on earth are these guys talking about? Where else can you find this kind of content other than 90% of the internet? We're here because you're there, and I'm not even sure what that means. Be sure to like and subscribe, because you don't want to be the only one stuck in this. It's the news, according to me. It is the news, according to me. Good morning. I don't say that lightly. Good morning. I hope you're having a good morning. It's January 7th, the day after. Yeah. Had to start off with a little bit of tongue-in-cheek levity this morning. Hope you're doing well, and we'll get right into this because there's a lot of things to talk about, and I'd like to thank you for being here. Make sure you subscribe. Make sure you, the big thing is I really request that you have a chance to share this podcast. It would really help me a lot, even if you don't listen to the whole thing. Just go ahead and share it. It just helps out. But maybe you don't want to. That's fine. That's not going to make you. Just asking. Please share it. Pretty please. So there's no end to the narrative now that is being pushed, and everybody's jumping on the bandwagon of our sacred hallowed halls of Congress have been tainted by this violence that has broken out. Okay, I guess maybe there's something weird about my memory, but I will be here to be the nation's memory if I need to be. And I want to go back to 2016. I want to go back to 2018. There was an incredible outrage, protests, violence, things being burned, personal property being burned down. People pounding on the wall. After the inauguration, there were people pounding on the walls of Congress. There were people pounding on the walls of the White, trying to get in. There was more violence. You want to talk about violence from the crowd? Maybe we need to go back and look at some of those videos. They had days of protest in Washington. People were saying things like, I have thought an awful lot about the White House. I'm not even going to say it because I'll probably get the feds down on top of me. But they were proclaiming it from microphones and speakers on the White House lawn. There were people holding in effigy the president's head, bloody head, thinking that was supposed to be funny. Yeah, that's funny. So let me just take you back to these hallowed halls of Congress. They blaspheme these hallowed halls of Congress every day. When they stand before us and lie to us from their little podiums and then claim the next day that they never said that or that they never meant that. For almost 4 years, and some of them are still saying it, that the Russians colluded with Trump to win that election in 2016. That the Russians, I remember being cussed at by people on Facebook because they thought that it was okay that the president won, that I was okay with the Russians hacking our election. That was the word. The Russians hacked our election. They gave the impression that they hacked into the machines and changed the votes. That was all the blaze in 2016, that the Russians did it and that Trump colluded with them. He paid them off. He owed them money. He owned property in Russia. This whole thing went on for 4 years. When they went to impeach him, they couldn't even impeach him on that. They had to impeach him on a phone call that was based on a nothing burger. Abuse of power. You want to talk about abuse of power? That's the pot calling the kettle black. It just never ceases to amaze me the way they can stand in their little podiums with their little lives, thinking that they are so important. Saying everything short of their poop doesn't stink. Their self-righteousness and their virtue signaling has gone off the charts. If you think back, let me remind you of this. So 2016 wasn't such a peaceful transition, was it? We didn't just have people contesting electors. We had people contesting the entire election for 3.5 years. A president who was spied on by the former administration. And now they stand there all holy and mighty, along with all the other establishment rhinos. And then they want to blame the violence on the Trump supporters. The violence. I don't know what happened in the shooting of that woman who died. I've been told that it may have been an accidental discharge. He had his finger on the trigger, shouldn't have had it on the trigger, it went off. I don't know how you hit somebody square in the neck, unless you're aiming for their head. A gun shouldn't be pointed at anyone, or being shot through a door, or whatever. I've heard all kinds of things about this whole situation, and the truth will come out eventually. Maybe not. We probably won't hear anything about it. Why would they go after a Capitol Police officer or whoever that was in there that shot the shot? Because those people protect them. They don't want to go after them. They were just doing their job. Oh, thank goodness they protected us from the violent intruders. The unarmed lady who was a veteran. Now, I'm not condoning breaking into the White House or breaking into the State House. I'm not condoning that. I'm saying that they screwed up and didn't do their job. They didn't keep people out. If they were supposed to keep people out, then they didn't do their job. Now, maybe they weren't expecting it. I don't know how you can not expect it, because let me tell you, they know full well, they know very well, every time there's a large gathering of protesters, there are provocateurs. And this is the kind of protest where, I'm not even going to say it was Antifa. Everybody's saying it was Antifa. Well, I'll tell you what, Antifa is rich with anarchist groups. I don't know if they have names. They're very small cells of groups. They want no government. They are anti-government completely to the ground. They want absolutely no government and everybody to rule their own little neighborhoods. It's a weird philosophy. If you think it's going to work, it goes back to basically tribalism and it would just be chaos. That's why it's called anarchy. That's why we call anarchy anarchy. This is anarchy because there's no rule. Common law is out the window in every little community. It's even worse than socialism and communism, because you have all these little groups running around being their own judge. Everybody does what's right in their own eyes, basically. It's a crazy philosophy for any kind of society that has numbers of people in it. And these people infiltrate a lot of groups. They were infiltrated into BLM. They were infiltrated into, and in my opinion, they were also part. I'm not saying that anarchists have a movement. I'm saying that that's their core belief. And that's why a lot of them are in Antifa, because they see Antifa as an outlet or as a machine, a mechanism to bring government down. And that's why they're a part of the Antifa movement. Of course, Antifa is just an idea. Remember that. Antifa was just an idea that was pounding on Holly's door, threatening him. I didn't see any video of them pounding on the door. I don't know. I'm sure, I assume it's out there. I didn't see it. I saw them standing in the streets and shouting and being threatening that way in the middle of the night. But I didn't see the pounding on the door. I've just been told it happened. Whether it did or not, I don't know. So we have this memory problem in our country, apparently. And the left doesn't remember. No, they look in the mirror and they walk away and they forget what they've seen. They don't remember their outrage and their violent activity and their threats and their name calling, their disgusting activity that they had for 4 years. They don't remember it because they think it was justified, because they are so righteous. Self-righteousness, I'll tell you what, it is one of the most disgusting things. And I know I grew up, I became a very self-righteous little individual when I was younger. And I know what that's like. That's what I was saved from. I didn't drink, didn't smoke, didn't chew, didn't run with those who do. And guess what? I was just as much of a, I deserved hell just as much as anybody else. Because that's not what makes you good. Talked about this yesterday morning. I won't go over it again. Go back and listen to the other episode. I think it was episode 30. So here we are today with all of the pontificating last night from the halls of Congress that Nancy Pelosi has the audacity to say the stones of this temple of democracy. The stones of this temple of democracy. And she used that term at least twice, I think three or four times. She said, this temple of democracy. Something about that rubs me the wrong way. Of course, then she has the audacity to go on to repeat a prayer. She could barely get through it. A Catholic prayer. Maybe she should listen to the Catholic prayer for the unborn. Why doesn't she repeat that from Congress? Because there is an issue with hypocrisy, yeah, in our government, in our leaders, on both sides of the aisle. So I'm pretty heavy with this message this morning, and that's why I wanted to start off with that little blurb. I want to say this. You know, I had a really heavy heart yesterday. I was kind of really taken back by everything that happened. Wasn't sure. Everybody was kind of soaking in what was going on. I had the things that I was seeing on the screen didn't really match what I was, I mean, I had some issues about what I was seeing, the pictures I was seeing, the video I was seeing. These people who were doing the quote violence stuff, the breaking in into the chambers and doing all that stuff, they didn't act like, to me, they didn't seem like the typical Trump supporter that I know. And, you know, I don't see a lot of them, you know, wearing blue and white face with the big old horns and the weird, you know, fur stuff on them and no shirt on. And of course, that's all the rage now. That, you know, there's like one guy in 100,000 people that were there wearing that kind of garb, and that's the guy who gets on in the pictures. That's the guy who
is the one seen as the Trump supporter that they broke in. This is them. This is the, however all of them look. He's the guy that gets all the photo ops. In fact, they were, there's one deal where they, somebody kind of called him out on it. There was a photographer up in the chamber there that was actually taking a picture of him standing at the podium, almost as if he was posing for it. It's kind of weird. So all this stuff is going on, and then we have, they reconvene. So they reconvene, and they're making all these speeches, high and mighty speeches. All of them are talking about how our democracy was attacked and that the president was the one who incited the riot. It was a riot, and the president incited it. Now, so let's get back to that. Violence. So they're trying to get inside of the chambers. What do you think they would have done to the congressmen and everybody if they would have came in? First of all, let me take you back to 2018, when we had a group of people do just about the same thing. After the 2018 election, AOC was in office. And guess what? There was a big sit-in. A bunch of people broke in and took over Nancy Pelosi's office. They took over Nancy Pelosi's office for the Green New Deal, for climate change. They were protesting climate change. I guess it worked. It worked, didn't it? Because we don't have climate change now. Oh, yes, we do. Sorry, it didn't work. So they all sat in there, and guess who was so proud of them and let them know that she was so proud of them and stood with them in Nancy Pelosi's office during a protest, shut her out of her office, was AOC. But that's democracy. No, that's mob rule. That's when you come in and you occupy someone else's personal space or the elected official's space. That was not Nancy Pelosi's office. That was the people's office, people she represents. Well, not really the people she represents, the people she pays off to win her elections. So we have this problem in this country, and I'm not sure exactly what's going on with that, but Rabbi Rick just texted me and was asking me about these he's just asking me what happened to all the objections from Congress. At the end of the day, we were supposed to have 13 senators. We only had, I think, 6 or 7. And we're going to talk about that a little bit now because I want to go right to that. And I kept hearing the one argument, the main argument I kept hearing was that the states control their elections and that the Congress is not in any place to accept or reject what the states have certified. Okay, that's what they're saying. They're saying that, and Rand Paul is even saying this, it's not the job of the Congress. If they're expecting Congress to change the outcome of the state's elections, that's not what we're asking for. We're asking for you to take some time to actually present the evidence. There was no evidence presented. And now people are going to say, there is no evidence. That's why it's not presented. Oh, yes, there is. There was not a single mention of any evidence other than a few little things spoken by a couple of congressmen on the House floor. But most of what was said was, and this is a big enough argument in and of itself. Now, this was not a trial, okay? So you don't really present evidence. You could present evidence if you wanted to, but it doesn't matter because this isn't a trial outcome type thing. This isn't a jury. It's not a court case. It needs to go to a court case and be heard by a jury. But they're saying, well, the judicial system isn't set up for that. That's what the SCOTUS is for. And the SCOTUS won't see it because they don't want to be the determinative factor in an election. And here's the problem. These states broke the Constitution. They broke constitutional law. The exact, the very thing that SCOTUS is supposed to rule on didn't do their jobs. Oh, they get paid a lot of money, but they did not do what they are paid to do. And that is the atrocity here. That's just one of the things piled on the camel of we're mad. The camel named we're mad. And finally, the camel got its back broken yesterday. And it didn't even really. The majority of the people who were protesting were not, they're not violent. They weren't violent. They, and even the people who went inside the Capitol building, what do you think would have happened if Antifa would have been in there destroying things? They light stuff on fire. They burn the place down. That's not what was happening. Apparently, they stole some hard drives, did some stuff, and took some pictures, walked around, and then they were all escorted out peacefully. I did not like seeing the guys with long guns coming down the steps at the White House when they were pushing everybody back off, when they were starting to clear off the Capitol building. I did not like to see that. That was not a good idea. Supposedly, an IED now has been discovered in the area. That doesn't sound fishy. They were all saying that over their little podiums of self-righteousness last night as well. Now, the question is, who are these people? I'm not so sure it was Antifa. I think it was anarchist groups. And that's, I'm going to stay with that. These people were well organized, wearing the backpacks. They had the same kinds of, now supposedly I've heard that some facial recognition of some of these people. There's like two of them that have been identified who were actually in a protest in Philly, in an Antifa protest or a BLM protest, and they were Antifa part of the group. I've just heard that. I don't know if it's true or not. There's also some other stuff coming out about who those people were and what in the way they were. There was a couple vans brought in that had some people. Now, you never know. The powers that be, the Secret Service and a lot of other people, try to infiltrate, and the FBI always try to infiltrate groups that they think may be a threat. So they may have put people in the midst who were just there to observe, trying to pretend like they're part of the issue and just trying to find, you know, they're just basically there as an informant. Sometimes that happens. That may have been part, you know, there's a lot, just let me say this, there's a lot more Secret Service around the Capitol area than what you realize. A lot of the homeless people who hang around, take a good look at them. Some of the details about who they are, because they're not homeless people. They're Secret Service people. And they're camouflaged right there in plain sight. But they're paying attention to everything that's going on. So you just never know about that kind of stuff. I don't think this was an organized Antifa group. I think it may have been, but I think it was more of an organized pod of anarchists that wanted to get in on the thing. They may have been a group of Antifa people who wanted to make Trump supporters look bad. And I'll guarantee you, when you've got a group of people rallying you up and breaking things down and saying, oh, let's charge them, let's go get them. You know, people were along for the ride, I think, at that point. There were some people who were upset enough and riled up, especially after they heard that, you know, that the runoff in Georgia didn't go well. And then Pence comes up and says what he said about not, you know, he's constrained by the Constitution to count these votes. Now, I am not a lawyer. I'm not a constitutional lawyer. I do know that, let's get into this. Because you have an issue here with all these guys. All the Republicans were standing up saying, I'm not happy with the outcome of the election, but I have to say that, you know, I have to object to their objection, basically is what they were saying. I stand against the objection because, and all of them gave the reason of, we are not here to determine the state's certified election. They sent us certified electors. We're just here in an administrative role. One of them said, we're simply in an administrative role. And that's kind of what Pence was basically up to, too. I'm constrained by the Constitution to do this. Okay, let's talk about that a little bit then. Why vote? Why even vote? Why does it go to a vote? If the vote's going to be yes because you have no choice, then why do you need to vote? Why is there even a Senate hearing at all? Why do you have it? Why is it there? Is it just a little show for everybody to watch the votes being counted because we've never seen anybody count up to 113? What is that about? The vote is there for a reason. You vote up, you vote yes or no. And what you're saying is it would be against the Constitution for you to just vote no. And you're berating anybody who did contest it. They're talking about putting those guys on a list and censuring them. And now with what looks like, I mean, they're talking now like Warnoff or Warnock or whatever his name is, and Ossoff, those two guys, basically have won. They're calling it for him. Loeffler or not, like it or not, she hasn't conceded, I don't think. They're still talking about these potential votes coming in from the military. Good luck with that. I don't know what's going to happen there, but potentially 17,000 votes. I don't think it's going to make a difference. At this point, I don't care. I really don't. I've had the temptation to have kind of a knee-jerk reaction to this whole thing, too. And I'm hearing some people online just basically say, I'm done with the Republican Party. We're going to start our own party, blah, blah, blah. Talking about that kind of stuff. Yeah, we'll see how that goes. But I don't know. I'm done with the Republicans. I'm done with all of them. Anybody in the establishment, at least, I've lost respect for. Now, Loeffler, who originally, if you remember, on Monday night before the runoff, she said, she came out and said, I'm going to stand in objection to these, to the election, to the electors. Then guess what? She stands up to say whether she's voting for it or against it. She says, because of the events of that happened today, I cannot be a part of this. And I've reconsidered, and I'm not going to object against this because I don't want to be a part of this. You weren't a part of it. You weren't one of the ones that rushed the, it's, that had, that are, those are two different things. You can blame, you know, I can sit here and say, well, it's kind of like blaming the other side. And I'm tempted to say this, and it's, I've really struggled with this. It's kind of like this whole thing happened. I want to blame the Republicans for all the stuff that's happened in the last year, in the last 4 years. However, that's not really fair. It really isn't fair. That's like blaming the burglar or blaming the victim for letting the burglar in the house. And that's not really fair to the victim. Now, I'm not saying that the Republicans are the victims. Because if you know the burglar's coming, or if you know the burglar wants to get your stuff, or if they've done it before 100 times, and then you sit there and act like with your door unlocked and you think that it's not going to happen again, well, they've done it that time, but they promise they're not going to do it again. Oh, okay. And then when it happens again, oh, I'm the victim. No, you know, at that point, you're no longer a victim anymore. Okay. You had the wherewithal. Now, if you're a victim and you don't have the wherewithal, you don't have the means to protect yourself, that's one thing. But if you had the means to fight back against this, what we knew was going to happen, then guess what? You're not the victim anymore. It's kind of like fool me once, shame on me, you. Fool me twice. Yeah. Now it's shame on me. And I'm putting the shame on the ones who knew full well. It's like the turtle and the scorpion. Oh, why did you sting me? Well, because I'm a scorpion. So, I'm going to try to keep this show short this morning. I had to produce it a little bit earlier than normal. Got another couple other appointments. But Rubber Rick will be back this evening, and we're going to be talking about this stuff. And maybe getting into a little bit more about Mitch McConnell, what's going on with, and all the stuff that's going to be said all day long about the attack on the White House and how Trump supporters, and now they're talking about the 25th Amendment because Trump is crazy and we're going to get him out of office because now they're saying he's going to launch a nuke. Yeah, this is the guy who didn't start any wars at all in his entire office. One of the few people since in the last 50 years who've never hasn't gotten us into a war, has withdrawn troops from other countries. He's going to launch a nuke. Now, let me tell you something. Here's a little known fact. And it's not getting much airtime. It's not getting much news in the news media because they're so infatuated and deranged by the whole Trump derangement syndrome. Here is something that is not being talked about. In Britain, it's being talked about, and they're very concerned about something. China is talking about war breaking out at any minute. What are they planning? Are they planning it, or are they concerned that they're going to be attacked? I'm not sure what's going on there. All I know is Trump has been calling soldiers back off the battlefield for the last month. Month and a half, actually 2 months. And why? It's why are we withdrawing other than, you know, we do need to stand down in some places. But is he calling them back here because we need them back here because something's going to happen? In the midst of all this chaos that the left wants to create and they want to make it. Here's the other thing. Oh, I almost forgot this. And I really need to say this. There were a couple of very well-spoken congressmen and senators who got up in their little podium with their little voice, little mouth, their disgusting double-talking mouth, forked tongue, and they were saying, the world is laughing at us. We were the bastion of democracy, and now the world is laughing at us. Other countries are laughing at us, and it's all Donald Trump's fault. He's brought down our nation. He's made us a joke to the rest of the world, or however they put it. The laughingstock of the world. Okay, so this is kind of like when you tell us that the country is afraid, people in America are afraid. I hate it when they say that. People in America are scared. The nation is afraid. It's scared. Oh, really? You're telling me I'm scared? How about you tell me that to my face? I'll tell you how scared I am. Certainly not scared of you. So, let's visit that, buddy. Stop telling us we're scared. Or stop speaking for us. American people aren't scared. There might be a few scared people out there. Probably people who should be scared. Probably not enough of them. Because this, I'll tell you what, this nation is not a bunch of cowards. We need a leader and a cause, and we will accomplish great things. But having people stand there and accuse us, basically, of being scared, or now they're speaking for the entire world saying we're the laughingstock. Don't believe that. Don't believe that for a minute. There are people all over this world posting, sending messages, knowing full well that our election was hijacked. There are common people all over the globe. You know, it's easy to speak for, you know, if they can get their little sound bites, they can go out and find, you know, a group of people here or there who don't like Trump, don't like the nation, don't like, you know, United States, all this stuff. They can find that. Sure, they can. And they can create that narrative and they can build it up. Stop and think about it. There's you know, over 7 billion people on the planet. You can pretty much make up whatever you want. You can find 20% of the people to, you know, I think like 16% of the people believe that aliens abduct them every night or something. It's kind of ridiculous. So it boils down to this. We have to have our heads level in this moment and not just listen to all the pontificating from the power-mongering, war-mongering, lying, thieving cheats that exist in Washington. And I think we've all seen the curtain kind of pulled back on a lot of these people. And we kind of know now what they're about. And, you know, the big question is, why are they so lockstep with each other? Why do they choose to ignore and continue to lie to us about election issues that we can see full well? Let me just put it this way. I'll finish with this. There are some very, very intelligent people out there who understand math. I'm not a math whiz. I mean, math was kind of I can do math, and I probably, if I would have applied myself, I probably could be a really incredible mathematician. How do you say it? A mathematician? Yeah, that's how you say it. Yeah. No, I'm not a good speaker. I get math was something I excelled in better than some things. Music was more my thing. But math, I know it's being called racist now. If somebody says 2 + 2 = 5, that's their business. If you say 2 + 2 = 4, that's racist. I guess they've actually read the book 1984, and that's one of the things in there. So these intelligent people, geniuses, math calculators, they understand what's going on. They're looking at all the actual data. We're not talking about they're making up numbers. They're not estimating things. They're going by actual data in these elections. And they are finding impossibilities, not improbabilities, impossibilities. It is impossible for this to happen. It is impossible for that to happen. Your election results are impossible because of this. There are 437,000 votes missing that should be there. The algorithms become obvious when you start charting and plotting some of the results, and especially in real time, looking at how the votes were coming in and being counted, it starts to become very obvious. And there's some charts and graphs out there that would just blow your mind. Now, I'm not talking about the one where the spike thing in the middle of the night. There's a couple other people who've done some algorithms that are, oh my word, it paints the picture. It's completely plain as day. And I'm, like I said, I'm no math wizard, but anybody who's had 30 minutes to listen to these guys, here's what I think happens a lot of times. Some of these politicians, some people, even the judges and people who look at this stuff, their eyes glaze over because they don't understand it. And so they think it's just hokey pocus and they don't want to believe it. They don't want to be the guy who sets up and says, oh yeah, we never went to the moon. That kind of stuff. I happen to believe we went to the moon, but I'm just using that as an example. They don't want to be considered a flat earther, I guess is what I'm saying. They don't want to be that guy. And it's kind of like, you know, somebody saying, oh, the earth is round, and nobody around wants to admit it. There are some people who kind of believe it, but they don't want to say it because they're going to get cracked down on by all the other people. It's peer pressure is what it is, plain and simple. So I will end with that because I'm already over time again. There's just so much news going on. So I woke up this morning. I went to bed with kind of a heavy heart, and I woke up this morning. I must have had some dreams last night. I don't remember what they were. But I woke up with this very calm sense of peace. And I can only explain it as the peace that passes understanding. And in the midst of all my outrage and my frustrations and my just livid reaction to some of the things I'm hearing people say in politics right now, and especially in the media, and how the Republicans are just going right along with it. Hearing all that stuff, I tend to react to that, and that's just my flesh. And I'm pretty sure that last night there was some kind of dreams that was just kind of in general, and just woke up this morning with a real sense of, I'm still disgusted. Don't get me wrong. I'm still upset. I'm still passionate about what I think happened and what I believe. But there's just this peace, and I can only explain it as the peace that passes understanding. And it's just because there's no reason for it. I think the people who are really livid and off the, I think we can approach this courageously and not just roll over, not just lay down and die with this, but to approach it from a peaceful, level-headed way, and to try to have facts on our side, and to move forward, and not to fight the little battles that don't matter. Let's prepare for the battles that do. When you stand before people that can change things, have the facts ready to go. Don't just argue with people on the internet, on the comments section of a YouTube video. You're going to wear yourself out doing that. Listen to their arguments, listen to what they're saying, but don't engage in that. It's just going to wear you out. You're not going to change anybody's mind in a comment on YouTube, probably. It's not going to happen. Now, there have been a couple occasions, I have to say, I have gotten into a couple discussions with some people on YouTube comment sections, and it has had to turn into more than that. I mean, because it's been, you have to get into the point where, okay, now we have to have a private message back and forth, because this is getting way too far, way too much into the weeds to be doing this. So there have been a few of those discussions, couple where they've actually, one person actually went to my YouTube channel and listened to some of my old videos. And if you've taken the time to do that and come back and ask me some questions, that's, now we're having a discussion. You know how rare that is? That's like 1 out of 1,000 or more. It's pretty rare. Somebody who actually wants to hear and be heard, kind of thing. And so all I'm saying is that doesn't happen very often on YouTube, and it doesn't happen often on the social media stuff. So I've just stopped arguing with them. It's kind of like when the bee tries to tell the fly, honey. My nephew posted this on Facebook today. Picture of a bee and honey and a fly kind of facing off with each other, and the bee's trying to explain to the fly why honey is better than poop, and the fly just doesn't understand it, just keeps arguing about it. It's kind of like a capitalist talking to a socialist. It's true. It is very true. And by the way, the bee is the capitalist. So I'm tired of arguing with flies. I'm tired of that. It'll wear you out. It'll wear you down. I'm not going to spoon feed people anymore with information. There's plenty of information out there. If you have questions, I'm happy to talk about it. I'm happy to discuss what I believe and have that discussion. But I'm not going to argue anymore with those people. A lot of times they'll pick your brain and they'll use that information against you, because you won't answer something exactly right, or they'll put words in your mouth. That's even worse. I've had that happen so many times, where you'll say something, you give an answer, or you say something partially in part, give an answer in part, or kind of assume that they understand what you're saying, and they take that and twist it around, and they make it sound like you said this, and you never said that. So it's just one of those things. And here I am going on 44 minutes with my little tirade again. If you have listened this far into this crazy show of me just spouting off every day, please share and subscribe to this podcast. I really, I can't tell you how much I appreciate anybody who wants to listen to this. It's therapy for me to be able to speak my mind. It would be even 10 times better if you could participate in the show. And there is a way you can participate in the show. Let me tell you how that is. I'm going to give you the answer right now. You can text in to 574-742-6748, and you can text me a comment, a question. Keep it G, but it's, rated G. Keep it rated G. So if you could do that, just text in 574. I'll wait for you to write it down. 742. Yeah, 6748. There you go. 574-742-6748. I'll have to figure out something that spells. Maybe that'd be easier to say. You can text in. And if you want me to call you during the production of the show, I will text you back and let you know when I'm producing the show. And you can let me know when I can call you. So like this morning, I was producing this fairly early. I think I started it at about, it must have been about 7:30 this morning. So I will let you know, that's Eastern time. And you can also text in if you want Rick and I to call you. Rabbi Rick and I will usually start the show typically between 3 o'clock and 4 o'clock in the afternoon, but sometimes it's going to be later than that. Like last night it was later just because some things came up. Life happens and stuff. So it could be anywhere between 3 o'clock and 6 o'clock that we start producing the show. But we can give you a call during that time. So we would call you during the show and talk to you about your stuff. Or you can just text and ask a question and I'll respond to it that way. So that'd be great. 574-742-6748. So here we are, Thursday. Let's see what happens today on the seventh day of the year. We're gonna find out. It's the great adventure. This thing called life. Stay safe out there, because we're all in this together. And yet we're all separate. So I don't know. I don't even know what that means. I'll just choose to end the show right now. God bless everybody. Have a great day. Take care of you and yours. And let's find out what they say to us today.